Good afternoon, everyone. Let's get started here. Welcome to the App Delivery with System Center Config Manager and Windows Intune session. I'm Dilip Radhakrishnan. I'm a senior PM here with the App Management team. And with me here is Heidi.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Heidi Kang. I'm a senior program manager on App Management team.
So here is our agenda for this session. We want to first talk about some of the emerging trends and challenges with respect to app management, and then how you can use Config Manager with Windows Intune to start addressing some of these challenges. And then we have a whole bunch of demos lined up here. Hopefully the internet and the connectivity with our Wi-Fi is good out here. We've had issues since morning. So if that works, we'll be able to show you Windows 8, Windows RT, we have iOS, Android, Phone 8, and if time permits, we'll also get an App V demo in. So we have a lot of cool demos along with very deep technical content that we want to provide on these platforms. There's one assumption that we're making is you have some familiarity with application model that we introduced in 2012 release. In this session, we'll just have one slide that talks about the overview, but then builds on all the new features that leverage the app model. But we do have hands-on labs and instructor-led labs here, so which I would recommend if you want to learn more on just the app model. Let's first step back and take a look at what's happening with the devices in the industry out there today. With respect to PCs, what's happened is over the last 20 years, the feature set and the platform of the PC space has really matured. Thanks to working with enterprise customers like you guys, we've got a lot of feedback on how to make the platform more manageable, more secure. However, on the consumer side, there are still challenges for us because the price point and the battery life with the PC devices, even with the latest Windows 8 touch laptops, are not there with the customers yet. On the other hand, the smart devices, which include smartphones and tablets, have really taken off in the last few years. And the primary reason is it addresses these shortcomings. They're very simple to set up. Whether you're a 2-year-old or a 90-year-old, it's very easy to just get started and going. They have a pretty low entry point from a cost perspective, and they have good battery life. So what this has led to is, with the last 2 years, as per the IDC report, we sold around 352 million PCs last year, whereas there were like 700 million smart devices sold worldwide last year. However, these consumers who buy these smart devices are not just going to be using it only for personal purposes. They want to start bringing it into their work environment and then connect to their corporate email, want to check, even do VPN from some of these devices. But that also starts exposing the limitation of these new platforms because they're not there yet in terms of maturity from security and manageability perspective. You can even compare this to way back our SMS 1.0 days in terms of manageability on these platforms. The other thing that's a major challenge here is the lack of standardization. You have at least three major vendors, Microsoft, Google, and Apple, all having their own mobile platforms. And you don't have the same kind of experience when it comes from an IT management perspective. So from a trend perspective, we are seeing that the PCs are going to get cheaper and lighter and start competing more with the smart devices. And on smart devices, as they become more enterprise ready, they're going to start becoming more complex. So how does this impact app management? So the first thing is, let's take a look at the PC space. Last year was a very big year for us at Microsoft. We released Windows 8 and Windows RT. And the main thing we've done there is to try to bridge the gap between PCs and tablets. So you still have your desktop apps for your traditional MSI and EXEs, so that way all your investments that you've made so far are protected. But at the same time, we want to give the consumers and the enterprises a rich experience with the new modern apps that we are introducing with Windows 8. So the challenge on that side is now you have to learn a new app model and how to deploy these new types of applications for Windows 8. Next, the trend around BYOD devices means now you no longer have to worry about just what application you have to deploy, but you have to step back and say, okay, is there an iOS version of this app? Is there an Android version of this app? For example, suppose if, as a part of your mobile strategy, you want to let your end users connect through VPN. And suppose you assume you had Cisco or Juniper or whatever your VPN network solution is. In those cases, then typically the experience is they have to go as an end user to the store, download these VPN apps for them to first even connect to it. So is there anything that we can do to make those experiences better, where you can actually point your users to what are the apps that are available in the public store that you recommend from an enterprise perspective. But again, the challenges on that side is each of these platforms, as I mentioned, come with very unique set of constraints. You need to know how to sideload apps. You need to know how to deploy certificates to these devices before these apps can start working. App maintenance, there are a couple of interesting scenarios here. Again, this is tied to the mobile trend. So typically, your user-to-PC ratio or device ratio used to be like 1:1 or 1:2 or something. You had a workstation, you had a laptop, probably. But that trend has changed. Each person has at least, like, say, 1:4 now. You have a smartphone and a personal tablet in addition to your laptop and your workstation. So in that model, what happens is from a device upgrade and other scenarios, you're not looking at a fixed period of, like, say, every 3 years to upgrade your PCs. That's not applicable on the mobile space. You're going to have end users, as and when their contracts are expiring, are going to go in and start switching the device. And when they do that, the expectation is all the kind of line of business apps that they had on their current phone. Suppose I switch from an iPhone to a cool Nokia phone, then I am expecting that the line of business apps that I made available on one device automatically show up on my next device. And more often than not, you're not going to lose your laptop as often as you're probably going to have end users lose their smartphones and tablets. When that happens, you have to worry about what are the applications that were there on those devices, what about the data on those devices, and how do you make sure that you can remotely wipe those data and do it only with only corporate data wipe and not, say, wipe your personal photo data. So those are kind of some of the interesting scenarios that are emerging. And last but not least, the end user experience on these devices. So these users are very used to intuitive experiences with these new tablets. So what they want is a self-service experience. They just go to the app store. If they have a need, they just go and get whatever apps they want anytime they want. And that kind of expectation is starting to spill over into the IT space in terms of all the apps that are being delivered from the IT services team. So things like app discoverability and self-service are kind of expectations from your end users. So now let's look at how we use Config Manager and Intune to address some of these challenges. So first on the PC side, our Config Manager story has been pretty strong. Right? For PC management, we are the leading product. Even the latest Gartner report that's coming out this month reaffirms our spot as the top PC client management solution. But if you notice, there is also another kind of category that's been carved off called mobile device management, MDM devices, and you have a lot of upstart vendors there. So, but none of them have the richness and the capability to do an end-to-end device management like what we'll be offering with Config Manager and Intune. So first, on the PC side, you'll be able to go and deploy Windows 8 using our product, and you'll also be able to deploy Windows 8 apps using our product. We've also extended it to support Mac operating system in this release. And then, on the Intune side, think of the challenges you've had with the explosion in number of devices to go and set up all the infrastructure like DPs, boundaries, everything for devices that could be anywhere in the world. So to address some of those challenges is where Intune as a service comes in. All you have to do is go in and set up a connection to an Intune subscription. Once you do that, it doesn't matter where those devices are. As and when end users start enrolling into those devices, they're going to start getting management capabilities, they have a self-service portal, they have all the richness that we're going to show today. Moving on to the second way we are addressing the challenges is, I talked about the app model earlier. This was one of the best investments we've made in recent years with respect to app management. Because what we did in that version was we took all the information about an application, like what are the dependencies, what are the prereqs, what are the install conditions, what are the requirement rules specified by the admin. All that gets modeled rather than being written inside scripts or EXEs or MSI files as custom actions. So all that is now kind of made available through an application model, so it becomes very predictable what's the experience in installing and deploying this app. So as a part of that, we introduced the concept of deployment types, where an app, say for example in this case Adobe Reader, has several deployment types. That could be one MSI-based deployment, there is an AppV-based deployment, and we've also started having our partners extend this model by having Citrix extend to Zenapp. So what we have done now in this release is add a whole bunch of new DTs. And immediately you start seeing the power of app models. So you really have to think and still model, say, Skype as an application from an admin perspective. Then there is an iOS version of Skype, there's an Android version of Skype, there's an RT version of Skype. It doesn't matter. Like, the application is still Skype, and you deploy Skype to your users. So let's see more details on what are the new DTs that we are introducing. Let's start. So the way to look at this matrix is there are the platforms, and then for each platform, there is going to be two ways to do app installation. Option one is you just browse to the store and get the app from the store. And there, the example that I gave with the Cisco or any of the third-party VPN solution is we have an option to deep link an application. So that's a new DT that we'll introduce, where you can actually go and deploy that deep link, which will help your end users to discover which app to install from your public app store. For line of business apps or apps that you purchase from your third-party vendors, you have a way to do the installs through another method called sideloading. And sideloading is any installation on these modern devices that doesn't come from the public app store. That's what sideloading means. So for Windows 8, the format of the file, the new packaging, it's called the .apex, or the application extension. For Windows Phone 8, it's ZAP files. iOS has a format called IPA files, and Android is .apk. Mac, we don't support the deep link to the store, but we support doing a push install to Mac applications. While we are doing it, we have also not abandoned our core strength in terms of PC. We have the latest and greatest version of AppV 5.0, and we actually have support for AppV 5.0 in this release. And going back to the challenges and looking at how we are addressing, this is the last one I want to talk about, is the end user experience. What we want to do is make sure that your end users have a very rich experience, because you can now deploy a company branded, whatever your company is with your logo, as a portal to your end users. Think of App Catalog on steroids. This is completely web-based. You can have users coming in from iOS for Phone 8 and Windows RT have these native apps that are built. For iOS and Android, it's a web-based app, so that way you can just access it from both your devices. But for Windows RT, we made the investment to actually build it as a native app. You go to the Windows Store, and you can download this app for your Windows RT. Phone 8, when you do the enrollment, we take care of it for you. We do the download for you. So what this gives your end users is a very consistent experience. As they switch between their devices, they're going to be able to see how the applications that they want, the devices that they own, are all shown, and how they interact with IT department becomes standardized. So I want to switch gears here and start going to do a deep drill down on each of these platforms. I'm going to start off with Windows 8. So first, let's clarify some terminology and concepts. So there are two types of apps you can primarily consider, like the desktop apps, which are your MSI, EXE, your traditional apps. And then what used to be called the Metro app is also referred to as modern app, and then Windows Store app. So depending on where you see in the documentation, there are a couple of versions of it floating around. These are the modern apps that we talk about, where the value really for your IT department is, these are taking on some of the concepts that we're building in CM in our application model and building them into Windows itself as a first-class citizen. So what this gives you as a benefit is these are very isolated, they're containerized, so there's no DLL hell or any kind of issues that we had traditionally with MSIs and apps overwriting each other. So they're very simple to deploy and service. You have a simple PowerShell commandlet. You can just do add package or get apex package to get the list and install these apps. From end user perspective, they actually offer a lot more rich interface compared to even our competitive platforms. You don't just look at dull icons. These are live tiles which can actually reflect the state of your application right in the face of the user without even having to open the app. So what are the dependencies that are required? There are a few. Depends on what are the libraries that the app developer used when they built the app. There are things like JavaScript, PlayReady is for all the DRM stuff, or C runtime. So depending on the type of library that was used to build the app, you need to make sure that they're present on the client when they run. So when you give the package to your IT admin to deploy, make sure that the dependencies are provided. And then, as I mentioned, from an end-user perspective, they can get the app from the store, public store, or from the corporate store. Let's get into some of the details of how to do sideloading. There are three main requirements that need to be met. So it's no longer easy just like taking your MSI and installing it on a modern Windows 8 device, a PC or tablet. You just can't put a modern app just like that. You can't install it. Because it's really locked down, the only way to, the recommended way to get apps is from the application store, in this case the Microsoft store. But that won't work for enterprises, which is why we allow sideloading, because you have your own line of business apps and there are 100 reasons you want to deploy your own apps. And you don't want to even share it with the rest of the world out there. So to do that, first thing you have to do is to set a registry key called Allow Trusted Apps. And once you do that, it's kind of a switch that gets flipped. The second thing you need to do is to ensure security. What they've done is to require that every modern app needs to be code signed with a certificate. And that code signing certificate, first the app has to be code signed, and then the certificate has to be deployed to the trusted root authority on your client devices. So these are the two common requirements across all platforms. The third aspect of this is actually a sideloading key, which is like a product key. It will look like a product key, and I'll show it in the demo shortly. And that depends whether you need it or not, depends on whether your device is domain joined and what SKU you have on Windows. If you are an enterprise customer that's rolling out Windows 8 enterprise SKUs, you really don't need to do anything other than joining the device to the domain. However, if it's a workgroup machine, you need to then deploy a sideloading key. And for Windows 8 Professional, you always have to have the sideloading key deployed for your apps to work. You need to deploy one key per device. It's not per app. It is a common, it's just tracking how many activations of that particular product key you can activate. So Windows RT, the Surface tablets cannot join a domain. There's no domain join feature, so they do always require a sideloading key. And last but not least, Windows Server, if you do want to deploy apps to the server, as long as they're domain joined, they don't need a key either. So how does the app developer now work with the IT admin to package these apps? Here are the steps that you need to follow. First, you decide you are building or buying this app. And once you do that, you now become the gatekeeper. Instead of Microsoft being the gatekeeper for all the apps that are submitted to the public store, the IT admin in the enterprise becomes the gatekeeper who makes sure that the Windows 8 apps that are being given to him have a very high quality in it. So you do that by running the app against an app certification toolkit, and I'll show you some sample in my demo. The next thing, as I said, the app has to be signed with an enterprise certificate. For initial test purposes, you can generate your own test certificate, but the ideal way to do it is to have an enterprise signing. And last, I'll say how to deploy this through Config Manager. So here are the steps to sideload an app, as I said. You have to go, the question comes up is, where do I get my sideloading keys from? You have to go to a Microsoft Volume Licensing Service Center website. Someone in your organization must be having the keys to this kingdom, so depending on where you are with your enterprise license agreement, you might have all these already available, or you might need to purchase them for your company. And once you get it, you have a few ways to deploy it. You can write a script, a software package, you can actually send it down. All you have to do is a simple command line way to install the sideloading key. And to set the registry key I talked about, you need to use either group policy or DCM's registry feature or a script. It's very easy to set the registry key. So then for enterprise, if you've standardized on what is the certificate you're going to use for code signing, then that is the best way to do it. Then you have to deploy the cert only once. But if you have different departments, each using multiple certificates, then you as an IT admin needs to provision all these certificates to the devices. Then you come into the app and DT creation wizard and create a new deployment type, and then you deploy the app. So this is the last slide before I jump into the demo. So you have a new DT that we are introducing. As I talked earlier, we've really built on the app model, so it does everything that you're familiar with from an app model perspective. When you import the .apex file, we detect all the information about it, and we have global conditions and targeting of users or machines. So you can do pretty much all the features that we have, and you can also do dependency and supersedence. From a compliance reporting perspective, There is two ways you can do it. You can have the in-console monitoring that shows the status of compliance for each of the apps. And then you also have the capability through the inventory mechanism to get inventory of the modern apps. Okay, let's switch to demo. Okay, for this demo, let's set some context here. I'm going to play three different roles. I'm going to start as an app developer and show what it takes to package the application. And then I'm going to show what an IT admin does. And then I'm going to log in as an end user and show what's the end user experience. So let's start with the line of business app. So this is a sales dashboard application that we've written. All it does is actually launch a sales dashboard. We don't want to get into the program details, but what I want to call out is there is a declarative file where information about the app is there called the app package manifest. So the package manifest has all the information about what's the different icons, because if you see Windows 8 apps, there are different tiles and different shapes and sizes, so you need to specify all that. The capabilities is what are the operating system features and the libraries that are being used by the application. But the important point I want to call out here is this aspect of specifying the version as well as the certificate that you need to choose for signing purposes. So I'm going to, let me reduce the scope. So you choose the certificate. What you would notice there is there's a publisher key in the certificate. That's why I zoomed in, I want to call out. That publisher key in the certificate needs to match the publisher name that you have for your application. If there is a mismatch here, this app install will fail on your device and you'll be left wondering what happened with the failure. So the other thing is, as I mentioned, you could actually create your own test certificate just for validating this app. But the ideal recommended way when you're ready for production deployment is to pick it up from a certificate store and select your enterprise certificate. So once you're done creating the certificate, you need to go and create the app package itself. There the option is there is a wizard for publishing your app packages. The first thing it asks is, are you going to send it to the Windows Store? The answer is no. And once again, I'll zoom in here. This is the other aspect. Oops. So there's an architecture field here. This is important, again, because a modern app can run on just Intel platform or on ARM platform with the Surface devices, or it could be neutral. When you tag it as neutral, it means it will work on all platforms. So once you do that, you can go ahead and hit release and then create next. Okay, this is not letting me do it. I need to hide my taskbar. Yeah, I did maximize it. I want to create it. Oh, it's finally done. So it's in the process of creating the app package. All right. Okay. So at the bottom of it, I don't know if you can see here, there's a launch app certification toolkit. I'm not going to actually do the launch because it takes several minutes to come back with a validation report. But I want to show you what the results would look like if the app package is installed and it's failing or success. Come on. Well, it's taken a long time to just show it from my local hard disk. Okay, when that comes back, I can actually show you the reports, but all it has is a bunch of checks that says what are all the checks that were done for this particular application, and then did it succeed or fail, and then you can give the report back to your app developer, and once they get the report, they can actually go in and make a decision on what are the changes that they need to make to the app. So once you've done the app packaging and let's go into the Config Manager UI. So what you see in the Config Manager UI is the ability to create applications. I'm going to go in and select among the list of new types of DTs this modern Apex package. I want to select my path. So my sales dashboard, my line of business app is ready to be deployed. So when I hit next, here's where we do the import and bring all the rules that I showed you now, that the architecture is neutral, these are the versions that it supports, and all the certificate information. So let's go ahead and do the publishing of this app. So what it does now is create an app, and it also creates a DT. So if you look at the sales dashboard app, it'll have one deployment, one DT, which is the modern Apex DT. So that's your modern Apex package. And I'm going to go ahead and do a deployment of this app package. And to do that, I have created a collection of sales users, of which one of the users is, his name is Alan. So we're going to go and target this to the sales users. And I have to go and specify the DP. I want to call out one thing. For publishing apps just to your on-prem PC scenario, you just need to select your DP, which is on-prem. I'll be showing another demo later where I publish this app to Windows RT devices, which works through Windows Intune. So once you set up your Intune subscription, you'll see another option here with the Intune DP called manage.microsoft.com. So here in this environment, I don't have that set up. So I'm going to make this app available to the end user. And then I'll just go to the summary page and finish the deployment. So now what you've done is created a modern app, made it available to sales users. So let's see what is the now end user experience, the third part of my demo. So here is the app catalog talking to that site server. As you can see, there's no sales dashboard app. Let's go ahead and refresh it. So what it does is now the app that was published to sales user, and Alan is a member of that sales user group. Once the app catalog comes back, there it is coming. So we should start seeing the sales app. Wow, it's taking really slow time today on the network. Okay, so once the app comes back, you can actually click to install it because it's going to get the list of requirements. There it is. So let's kick off an install because that's also going to take a little bit of time. So what it will do right now is all the conditional rules that were specified by the IT administrator are going to be evaluated along with the requirement rules that were specified even as a part of the app package itself. So when all those requirement rules are evaluated, at this stage it's finished evaluating and it's beginning to start the installation process where it has to go download the content from the DP and then start the installation. So while that's coming up, we can go and take a look at the status in the app install is already complete. So we can take a look in the start menu. So let's take a look. There it is. So that's the sales dashboard application. So what I also want to show is one more demo scenario here, because this is the happy day scenario where I deployed the app and everything worked, but that's not always our case. So let's go to the software center again. As I can see, I had previously published a PayStub application. I'm going to try to install it because the previous installation had failed once. Or maybe that app was. So this app install failed. So when we look at the reason why we have application failure, the way you do it is to typical logs. One of the things I did purposefully prior to this demo was made sure that that particular app, I used a totally different certificate. So what you're looking at is the app eval log. So if you can zoom in, you can see the reason why that was failing was it was not a trusted certificate that was used to sign the app. So this is what you would see in the app enforce log. But I wouldn't think it's expected that IT admins are going to be watching every machine and every log all the time. So what we do there is recommend using the in-console monitoring feature where we can go and look at the list of your deployments. Let's look at even Dynamics package was another package that I published earlier with the same kind of errors. So we could look at the error. And once again, you can see that the error description there is surfaced to the admins directly in your dashboard. So what we saw in this demo sequence was starting with an app developer to create and publish a modern app package, then deploy it to end users through Config Manager, and then on the client, show how the app's installed through the catalog, and then when things go wrong or success, you get the compliance reporting back in the Config Manager console. Moving to the next part of the presentation, just a quick recap of all the troubleshooting steps. I'm going to skip through in interest of time, but I showed you most of it. So always check if the sideloading is enabled. Go check if the key is there. Make sure that the root certificate is installed on the client. And you can also test manually. Just run this PowerShell command called add apex package and give it the path to the package. It'll try doing an install, and you can get errors directly caught much earlier in terms of whether it's a valid app package or not. And of course, I showed you all the client-side log files, that the 57-plus log files that you'll find under CCM logs folder. In fact, I attended one of the MVP sessions yesterday. I think you guys like the CM trace tool and the merge features. A few other things to keep in mind with Windows 8 apps. As you know, that more and more of these tablets are being 3G or 4G enabled. So as IT admins, we can be a little more responsible about using up data consumption on end users' devices. And the big culprit typically is around applications, because we deploy apps, they go to DP, download all the content. So you have to be careful whether it needs to be done only over Wi-Fi or over 3G and 4G. So we have a client setting that lets you set the limits. The default is actually block. If it detects that you are on a metered network, then it will automatically treat it as like a disconnected device and not send any app packages, nothing works. And the other extreme is allow, because you think you as an IT pro, you're paying for your end users' bills and your company can absorb the cost. You don't care about the billing, then you can still make everything work as if it's a regular connected network. But the more common scenario might be you might want a limit, and when you set the limit, all it does is the kind of operations, the four things that are listed are the only thing that happens. Like it'll allow, when you're on a metered network, you can do policy polling, you can do client state checks. But when the end user tries to install an app, it will prompt a warning saying that you are on a metered network. Do you want to go ahead with it? Moving on, we're going to talk about now how to deliver apps to mobile devices. So here's where the Intune integration part comes in. So you have Windows RT, Phone 8, iOS, and Android. Across all these platforms, we have the ability to deploy apps to users in a sideloaded way as well as a deep link. And you also have all the compliance features that I just showed you. So I want to spend a little bit of time on the slide, because this is kind of showing the architecture and how things work behind the scenes. Because when you see the demo, you're just going to see in the keynote, you saw the app suddenly just show up when Brad showed it yesterday. So on the right, what you have is the Config Manager, CAS, or your primary sites, all the things that are connected on-prem. On your left, on my left, is my list of end users who are connecting from a Surface or a RT or a iOS device. What's sitting in the middle in the cloud is the Intune service. There are a few architectural components I'll just briefly touch upon. The org ID is the piece that is used to connect and validate your user identity with Azure Active Directory in the cloud. The gateway is the piece of component that helps and connects to the devices. Intune DP becomes the DP where all your app content is stored in the cloud. And cache is where we store all our app policies, everything. And then there's the IW service that actually services all the requests that comes from the end user portal. But the good thing is you really don't need to know any of these. But I'm just telling you so you know when things go wrong, you can at least guess where things are going wrong. What happens is the whole thing about Intune as a service is you go into the CM console and set up the connector. There was a session earlier today. In case you missed it, I would request you to watch the recording, because it's a great session to tell how to set up this Intune service connection and the connector to the cloud. But once you set it up once, you don't have to bother with all the other operations that are happening from the CM console. So you deploy a new app, in my case, the same sales dashboard app. So if it was available in Apex format and Windows and iOS format, they're actually distributed and taken to the cloud, into the Intune DP in the cloud. So then I go in and deploy applications. Here is where I said sales users are getting the sales dashboard application. So that app policy went and got stored in the cache in our service. So the next step is we are waiting for the end user. Now the app's published, the policies are published, it's out in the cloud. So here is where the self-service experience comes in. So when the end user comes in from the SSP, they decide when to install what apps. So they come in and log into the portal. They get a token that's valid for 20 minutes. So you'll see when we do the demos, we'll be logging in frequently. For security reasons, that times out in 20 minutes unless you're using the portal. So one of the first things that you'd see when you log into the portal is the list of applications that are made available to you. So it requests an app list, and it gets the list of apps that will be shown in a nice, pretty UI. So the end user browses the apps and decides that, hey, I like that particular app. I'm going to go ahead and install that app. And when that happens, here is where, again, we need the cloud-based infrastructure, because we can't imagine this happening through your on-prem. Because this, the way some of these MDM vendors have, the platforms have been designed is the only way to talk to an iOS device from any management platform is through Apple's notification service. So so what we do is we hook up your Intune account to the Apple website where the Apple notification service web service happens. So that is the one that will actually notify. And similarly, on Windows side, we have a Windows notification service that does the agent triggering. So then that requests the app to be downloaded. The app comes down to the right platform. And then the install happens. So all this detailed step that I showed is like a few seconds in the actual world operation. But from a reporting status, you again get compliance reporting back from these devices. And the status comes back into the central site. And then you can actually see that app show up in your compliance report as how many users have downloaded and installed this app. So that's the quick architecture overview. So now coming to the RT side of things, as I said, there's slight differences between how you do things on Windows 8 and Windows RT, even though it's the same platform and a similar platform. The difference is the architecture. So when you do the sideloading, there's actually two differences. There are architecture pieces, but then there's also these are running on very low-powered ARM-based tablets. So we cannot have the luxury of running a full-blown CCM exec kind of infrastructure on these devices. What we run there is a very small agent called MDM agent that runs in the background. It's not even a long-running service. It wakes up when an app request comes in to do the install, and then it disappears at the end of the installation. So in order to facilitate the experience on RT where you don't have all this rich infrastructure, you still go through the volume licensing center, get the same key and everything. But when you enroll the RT device, we do a lot of work for you in terms of bringing down the certificate, bringing down your the keys, the product keys, the sideloading keys, and then also set the registry key for you. So then you go through the same process of creating the app, but when you deploy the app, make sure you choose the Intune DP, which is called managed.microsoft.com. So when you're troubleshooting, again, the steps are going to be very similar, but just watch out for the app package whether it's neutral or ARM. And then on the troubleshooting blog, most of the other steps are similar, but since you don't have all the trace files that you would normally find in a full-blown PC client, we've published a very nice blog article that shows how to do step-by-step troubleshooting on RT devices. Okay, with that, let me jump into a demo on Windows RT. Is it projector? Is it coming up? Can get it on the wolf, maybe that's easier. So the direct projection is having issues. I'm going to actually show it on the wolf device. If I can get past all this. Did you change the date?
Yeah. Not them working.
Somebody here can be, the displays don't seem to be working. We tried both 6 and 8. Can we just get the wolf working? I mean, we can just do this. Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay. So let's get this thing out. No, that's okay. We'll just use this. So what you're looking at is the self-service portal that we have defined with Windows RT. This is an app that you can download from the App Store, the Windows App Store. So when you look at here are your devices, and you can look at all the applications.
Because it's that thing got unplugged. It was working just a minute ago.
Let's go back to the company portal. So here is where it authenticates and connects to the Intune service. And it might prompt me for my credentials now. The internet is really slow today.
Well, at least we still.
Okay, while that comes up, I'll just quickly switch and show the service side of the stuff. Can you just log in and have it ready for me? So I'll come back here and show, while Heidi is logging in, what's the admin experience like for this? So as I said, for Windows RT, we made it a little easier. So for Windows RT, you can go here and look at the sideloading keys. And this is where you go and specify and upload your sideloading key. It's just like a license key for the product. And then the other thing you need to do is go and specify the certificate that will be used. So you go under the admin node. Under hierarchy, you'll see a Intune subscription. Look at the properties. So you see all the tabs for different operating systems. And for Windows RT, you see the code signing certificate that we've uploaded. So the code signing cert is ready, the product sideloading keys are ready, and I've also deployed the same application that we talked about earlier, the Apex file, to the sales user collection. So you go to the sales application list in my line of business apps. There's the sales dashboard app. Yeah. So that's the app, and it's been deployed to sales users. So it's all good to go once we can log in. It looks like there is some internet issue still there that it's not even logging into the service. We've already done that. So I think we can probably proceed with the other demos and slides. If this connectivity comes back, we will be able to show that. Luckily, for at least our phones, we should be able to connect because we are still using the 3G network or LTE network. So let's try to go back and move on with the slides. So Heidi will now start talking about how to deploy apps for iOS and Android and Windows Phone.
Hello, everyone. So Dilip has talked about how you can deploy enterprise line of business apps to your Windows 8 and Windows RT devices. What I'm going to show you is how you can deploy your enterprise apps to other mobile platforms. Each mobile platform has its own requirements. One thing in common, though, is that they all require the apps to be co-signed, so they only run trusted apps on their platforms. So let's take a look and see what needs to be done for iOS platform. First, you need to go to the iOS Developer Enterprise program and register. With that, you will be able to upload your code signing request to the iOS provisioning portal. In response, you will get the distribution certificate. With the distribution certificate, you will also be able to get the enterprise distribution provisioning profile. What this provisioning profile does is it lets you to deploy apps to a limited number of iOS devices in your environment. So now with the distribution certificate and the distribution provisioning profile, you can then use the Xcode tool to sign and build the app. It's in the extension of IPA. What's more, you also need to generate an XML manifest file, a plist file. What this plist file does is it tells the iOS device where to find, download, and install to the the apps. So with both IPA file and the plist file, you're now ready to create app model in Config Manager, console. Very familiar process. It's just a new DT for the iOS sideloading apps. And then you can deploy it to your user collections. Moving on to Windows Phone 8. For Windows Phone 8, similarly, you need to register for a company Dev Center account on Windows Phone 8 website. You will then get a publisher ID. With this publisher ID, you will be able to purchase a co-signing certificate from Symantec website. You need to export the private key to a PFX file. This file is very important for you to sign the sideloaded apps. Moreover, in Config Manager 2012 SP1, we provided this native company portal app that you can distribute in your environment that can give your end user rich experience to browse the app catalog and get apps. This app also needs to be sideloaded, so you go to Microsoft Download Center and download the ZAP file and use the PFX file that you already obtained to sign it. Windows Phone 8 SDK tool actually provides the ZAP signing tool for you to use. Once you get the ZAP file signed, you can then go to Config Manager, console to create the app model. And probably you've seen in the previous sessions, both the app model for the company portal app and the PFX file are actually required for you to set up Windows Intune subscription for Windows 8, Phone 8 platform. And once you provide these two, Config Manager takes care of generating this application enrollment token at setup time. This AET token is actually essential for you to sideload any apps in your enterprise space. So I don't have a separate slide for Android. Android only requires you to co-sign your apps. Moving on to the store-based apps, Dilip already talked about deep link apps. So it's similar architecture. You also start from the admin console, create an app and the new DT that we added in this release. You deploy this app, and the app policy gets sent from the central administration side through the connector role and then all the way to the Windows Intune cloud service. And keep in mind, the sync happens every 5 minutes. So there's a general delay. Whatever you deploy doesn't immediately show up on the company portal. During the demo, I'll show you more on that. So from the end user, when they get hold of the company portal app for their corresponding platform, they get authenticated into Windows Intune service. And they browse the apps, request app list. In return, the service will give them the app list, and the user can choose which one to see. From there, the company portal app is picking up that, oh, this is actually deep linked into the public store. So what it does is it launched the store app for that corresponding platform and give the link to the apps, to the store app. From there, the store app actually takes over, talks to its corresponding public app store, and then pull down the app, download and install. So that's the end-to-end flow of a deep link app. Now let's move on to do some demos. So it's number four. Okay. So I already created app for Skype. And as you can see, let me blown this up to full screen size. So it already has a deployment type that links to Windows Phone Store. What I'm going to add here is another new deployment type. Let me zoom it. You can see these new app deployment types that we added in the app model. So what I'm going to pick is the app package for iOS from App Store. Zoom it again. Okay. And now I'm actually in the browser to browse for this app in the Apple App Store. I'm just going to search for Skype. Now I'm in the app details page for Skype. When I click on OK, Config Manager actually creates this deep link, points to the app details page in the App Store. And then I click through the rest of the wizard, and the DT is created. Since I already had it deployed for this app, so in 5 minutes, the policy will get synced from the central site to the Windows Intune service. But for the interest of time, I cannot wait for 5 minutes to show you. What I did is that I pre-created a DT using the exact same method. Okay, you go first. Are you on the mic?
So just to finish up the previous demo, this is the self-service portal, which was available just a second back.
It's just not reliable. LTE is better.
Okay. Yeah, there it is. So what you're looking at is the list of devices and then the list of apps. You can go in and see the list of apps. We had published the sales dashboard app. And then you can go ahead and do the install of the app.
Move the device down.
Sorry?
Move the device down. It's not installed.
Is it better? Okay, so that was just to show you the quick experience from there. If you can also look in behind the scenes, if you look at the desktop mode, I just wanted to show you a couple of things, which was the task manager. If you look at it, when the app installation is happening, it might have finished by now, but there was a process called mdmagent.exe that was running, so that gets kicked off. And the blog article talked about the job ID. So there's for each of the install apps, there is a job ID that's created. And if there were any errors in installation, just like I showed you on the PC side, you have the same information available here in the registry, as well as it will be sent back to the console through in-console monitoring.
Okay, now I'm in the company portal for iOS devices. What you can see is that you can click on the app catalog, and you can see the Skype application. This is one that was pre-created before the demo. And from here, I click on View App. It actually goes to the App Store using the native store app application. And from here, the device takes over. So that's how you can install a deep link application on iOS device. Next, switch back to the console. So Dilip talked about sideloading apps to Windows 8. Here, what I wanted to do is actually create a Windows Phone app. So I pick a zap file. That's a new DT. I browse to the folder where I store the app. And I can review the app details extracted from the Zap package. Everything got extracted, but some things are not that pretty. That was in the package, so I just changed it. And after I review the details, I can just click through the DT creation wizard. So now I have the MS time off. That's actually developed in-house in MSIT. Here, what you can see is this app gets shown in the app catalog on the company portal app for Windows Phone 8. When I click on it, I can review the details, and I click on install. Now, if I go back to the phone, the app is installed. Next, I don't want to repeat the publishing and the process is very similar, but I do have an Android phone that I want to show you. The interface is the same just as iOS. It's a web-based portal. You click on Get Apps. Guess it timed out. What's going on? Can't get the keyboard. All right, I'm back to the company portal. Well, this one is also on Wi-Fi, so it's a bit slow. So I already created a DT for sideloading the Android app. So this one, when I click on it, it shows me I can download this app. When I click on Get an App, it starts downloading to my Android device. So actually, an indicator here that it's still downloading. OK, the download complete. So it prompts me if I want to install. I go ahead and install it. So this is how I sideload an Android app. So up until now, we've spent quite some time talking about the app delivery in our unified device management solution that we introduced in Config Manager 2012 SP1. Let's see what's new in other areas. So in virtual apps, it was also a big year. It's pretty dark here, but I want to take a quick poll. How many of you have used AppMe before? Quite a few. And how many of you have used AppMe with Config Manager? About a half. Good. So as you might have already known, it was also a big year for Microsoft Application Virtualization. AppMe 4.6 SP2 was released, so that it can support Windows 8. More excitingly, the greatest release for AppMe also came out. It's AppMe 5. What Config Manager did was to add a new deployment type to support AppMe 5. It also supports the virtual connection groups, replacing dynamic suite composition. To me, one most exciting thing about this, and also the beauty of it, is that the 4.6 SP2 client can coexist with ApvE5. Because, as you might have already experienced, whenever there's a new release came out, the migration story is always something people are wondering. How much does it take for me to migrate my users from the older version to a newer version? With the Config Manager deep integration, migration is actually really easy. Shortly, I'll give you a demo on that.
Time check?
Okay. So the connection group that allows the virtual apps actually working in the same isolated environment, sharing the same file system and the registry. There's a few reasons. So being able to run isolate in the isolated environment could be helpful because it reduces the risk of conflicts and also it helps to reduce your regression testing. But sometimes there are really true dependencies between apps like middleware, like .NET, or applications that they have dependency on each other, like the .NET add-ons. Or sometimes simply just apps work together better, like Office and Link. So this is what Connection Group brought to the table. And what Config Manager did was to add a new node for virtual environment. You can define the rules dynamically. There's no more hand editing in the package itself. The dependencies are all defined from the admin console. It's very easy. And on the client side, the connection group will be created when the two applications are installed or the next time the client gets evaluated. Okay. So I talked about migration from ApvE 4.6 to 5 and how easy that Config Manager has made it to. So the story here is that in the IT environment, the end users already have Adobe Reader 9.1 packaged by ApvE4. And now, with ApvE5 technology, I wanted to migrate my users from ApvE4 to ApvE5. So I have a new package. It's called Adobe Reader 10, packaged using ApvE5. It's a new deployment type here. For ApvE5. So same, just very, very familiar interface. You get to see the app details. And as you notice, probably, the extension of ApvE5 package is also different as ApvE.ApvE. So now I have the ApvE5 package created, and I really want to move my users out of ApvE4, but do I have to do it all at once? Not really. With the Config Manager, what you can do is that in the app details, in the application properties, you can leverage the supersedence that you probably have already been very familiar with. You just supersede the older package, have it uninstalled. And deploy. deployed to the same self-users group. Add the DP. It's available in stub. From here, since it's already defined the supersedence relationship, I actually have the option to automatically upgrade my users without them going to the app catalog, going through the wizard. Now it's deployed. So now I'm Alan now. I'm on Alan's desktop. I have not just...
Oh, I missed it.
I didn't have the Abby.
Okay,
so I guess I messed up a little bit of my demo sequence. Somehow my app V4, the Adobe Reader 9, wasn't installed. But the idea here is that I go to the app catalog. It's getting really slow. So, yeah, for the interest of time, now it comes back. It should have been the Adobe Reader 9 being replaced by Adobe Reader 10 in App Catalog. Then Alan has the choice to install Adobe Reader 10. And from here, Adobe Reader 9 will get uninstalled. So what Config Manager did is that you don't really tell the difference between the virtual apps and the traditional apps. You can just leverage supersedence to replace. And because AppV4.6 can coexist with AppV5, you don't have to migrate all your AppV4 packages all at once. You can just do that one at a time. So no pressure. Okay. Yeah, so going back to the slide. When we talk about heterogeneous IT environment, it's not really just about mobile devices. There are also other clients probably in your environment, like Mac OS X and Unix Linux systems. So in Config Manager 2012 SP1, we added support for Mac OS X. We support Snow Leopard, Lion, and Mountain Lion. And we added a new deployment type to support four different extension files. And Config Manager provides this custom tool, CMAPTOL, that you can run on your Mac machine. And that converts those five different formats into .cmac. So that Config Manager can understand this file format and extract the detection information from the app. And you can use required install to the system collections. For Linux and Unix, we added support for Red Hat, Solaris, and SUSE. And it's leveraging the classic package and program model, deploy apps to Unix and Linux servers. You can also deploy software updates to your previously installed apps, remove and uninstall, and you can also deploy maintenance scripts on those servers. Last but not least, SP1 also added PowerShell support. PowerShell has become the really popular tool in the IT environment because you can easily use that for automation. So in the app space, what you can do on admin console, those common tasks can actually also be achieved by your commandlet. Those are just a few examples on the screen. They're very easy to automate. And you can also streamline integration with your other tools in the environment, like your ticketing system, help desk. So it's very easy to use. And there's no configuration actually needed. You just go to the Config Manager admin console. Under the ribbon, you can click on that connect via PowerShell. And that's it. Then you have the PowerShell window. With that, back to Dilip.
So, did anyone keep account of how many new features we added? By the way, I just want to remind you, this is a service pack release. So I think this is the most number of features we've ever added in a service pack. So just to recap, we started with a quick overview on the trends and challenges you see with mobile devices, and we showed you through a lot of demos today how we take on those app management challenges and help you manage all these applications across different OS platforms. One thing I just want to call out is when we talk to our customers, mostly we keep hearing that around 25 to 30% of our customers, the mobile device management scenarios are done by CM admins as well, or it's done by the desktop or app management team. But there are some scenarios where we see there's a mix of customers who come back and say they're networking or security or some teams there start driving the mobile initiatives. But the future, as we saw in the trends, is very clear. I mean, if you just look at it, mobile device management is not just security. App management plays a very big role in that space, and you guys, as the CM administrators, are the best experts to deal with this set of scenarios. So if your management is not having you already at the table for these MDM discussions, I think you should go talk to them again. Okay, with that, we just wanted to call out, we didn't have time for a whole bunch of demos. There's a session on Mac on Thursday. There is a session on Linux, Unix also on Thursday. There's an app v migration session, so that should also be interesting. It's all going to be run through PowerShell. So there's a lot of content. I've also been asked to make sure that you are made aware that there is a giveaway of a RT tablet package. So you just go to the booth, answer a few questions, and then you're entered into a drawing. So that, but you need to be there at 4 p.m. on April 10th to pick up the prize if you win it. And this is Vegas, so I think you have a good chance. Okay, that's all I had. We have some, maybe run out of time for Q&A. Heidi and I will be at the booth today between 3 to 4:15, so if any of you want to talk about app model or some of the challenges, you'll be welcome to talk to us there.
We nailed it. Well, I cleaned up too clean. I forgot to stop back.